And welcome, friends. It's Jory Prosen once again with another podcast, podcast number 5 in our series, The Way It Is. Today we've got a dandy for you. It's Cults, The Twisting of the Mind and the Soul. Originally was looking at doing this in 2 parts. We decided to extend this to a full hour plus today to try to get as much content in as possible. What we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the mainstream cults, that ones that you probably are familiar with and have heard about before. But we're also going to, in the second part, look at some of the more deadlier cults that unfortunately resulted in fatalities and lives taken. What a tragedy. So that way we'll give you kind of a balanced perspective. Not all cults are certainly dangerous, but they are potentially dangerous to the mind and the soul if things are dealt with in the extreme. So we're going to look at everything today. And the scripture that we want to start off with today in looking at cults comes from 1 Timothy 4:1-2. And I'd like to share that scripture with you right now. And it's going to come on the screen. Before that does, I just want to thank you for being with us today, whether you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're a skeptic, agnostic, atheist, whatever, or come from a different religion altogether. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. And so with that, we begin by looking at some of the major mainstream cults, and some of the people behind the cults. You'll see some of their faces and some of the actual members of the cults, pictures taken. You'll see that flash by, but I want to get into it right away. One of the most largest mainstream cults is Mormonism. And that was founded by Joseph Smith in Fayette, New York, way back in 1830. He had already had a vision, apparently, going all the way back to 1820, 10 years previously. And in that visitation, he said he was he met up with a resurrected entity known as Moroni. And this Moroni apparently told him, or presented to him, what was called golden plates, which was later translated to the Book of Mormon. So in 1829, Smith said that that he wasn't just visited by Moroni, he was also visited by John the Baptist. And it was John the Baptist who apparently he claimed that appeared before him and ordained Smith to the Aaronic priesthood. Now, the Aaronic priesthood is after Moses' brother, Aaron. And it's regarded as one of the highest priesthoods in the Levitical priesthood. And so that was not even the end of it. Other disciples, apparently, according to Joseph Smith, appeared before him. Peter, James, and John, they all appeared before him. And then they apparently ordained him to the Melchizedek priesthood. Which, if you know anything about the scriptures, Melchizedek is on one of the highest levels, bordering on almost deity status. It's really a truly a mystery of the Bible, but there's hints that Melchizedek was actually not so much a pre-incarnation of Christ, but a manifestation of God. And so he basically got ordained as high as he could. So this following became the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, or better known as the Mormons. And they were known for placing the emphasis on the fact that they found that, you're going to find this common pattern here, many of these people were part of Christianity to some level of orthodoxy, and they left it. And he left it because he said it was corrupt. And you're going to see the same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses. And Scripture backs that out, that not all that were with us were not all that were at one time with us, you know, were not really from us. And when they say from us, were from God and weren't actually children of God. And so they departed. And of course, I'm paraphrasing here. So being Joseph Smith, felt it was his mission to reestablish the true church. And so Mormons, and this is a common theme, exclusivity, believe that no one can be saved outside of their church. And this is one common theme you'll see over and over again. You're going to start seeing parallels so similar in so many cults, particularly with the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and others. And despite some articles of faith lining up with Christianity, Mormons believe for the most part that the Book of Mormon to be on par with the Bible and to be also the Word of God. And God, of course, gives us a stiff warning in the Book of Revelation that anyone adds to or takes away from the book and the Bible, so too will the curses upon them be upon them. And so that's the first heresy, really, that we see with the Mormons, is this belief that the Book of Mormon is to be almost like canonized, like or authority, just like the Word of God. They also believe, Mormons, that is, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are three separate gods and not of the Trinity. So they don't believe three in one, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all connected. And so that is something you also see with Jehovah's Witnesses. They also have a problem with the Trinity. Mormons believe in something that can't be explained, can't be also considered as truth, which is a problem because the Bible says that the things of God we can't comprehend. So if we can't comprehend so many of the things of God, does that mean they're not true? Of course not. That would be saying God isn't true. Mormons believe in eternal progression, which is a type of divinity New Age thinking where man, if he has enough faith, can become God. And that is a New Age way of thinking. And again, you're going to start seeing that over and over again. Scientology isn't far from that either. Mormons also teach that God has a physical body of flesh and bones. And so that causes problem with the resurrection of Jesus Christ bodily and in spirit. He asked the disciples to touch him. He asked Doubting Thomas, put your thumb where my hole is and see. Because he was doubting, right? That's why he was doubting Thomas. So the Bible says God is spirit, and never mind the Holy Spirit, but this is a problem. So, pardon me, I was saying, I was getting mixed up with the... I'm going all over the place here. Mormons teach that God has a physical body of flesh and bones. I think I said to the contrary that God is a spirit. Well, God is a spirit. That's what the Bible says. Never mind the Holy Spirit. And so that is where Mormons stand. I apologize again if I confused anybody here. I'm jumping the gun. I promise I will make sense of this and bring clarity to this as much as possible. And then, on top of it, Mormons struggle with the whole omnipresent, omniscient situation because they believe for God to be everywhere, he needs to have some help in the way of ministering servants and angels that help him get around. I know it sounds crazy, but in a limiting way, they believe that. And so there's all kinds of heretical thinking and different types of struggles that the Mormons have in their theology. Another Mormon belief is that God has a number of wives in heaven. I don't know where they get that. Maybe that's why they have the bigamy that they do. They think they're being like God. So they believe, and this gets kind of crazy, this whole eternal progression thing, that if you continually give birth to somebody, then eventually become a human spirit, and then you can father, these human spirits become like God, and they can father other gods, and all this whole thing is called celestial percentage. So don't even worry about these terms. These are just terms, really in-house terms, but I just want to show you how crazy it gets. When it comes, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, compared to the Word of God. When it comes to salvation, turning to Jesus Christ, to a Mormon, is not the way to seek atonement. They have something called unconditional salvation, where all people get to heaven because of and avoid perdition because of the redemption that Jesus gave on the cross. But it's not so much the actual act of Jesus and the sacrifice. And internal progression is another works-based belief that the Mormons have in obedience and works. So I really can't go into any more detail. We'll never get this done for this first half. Jehovah's Witnesses, that would be Charles Taze Russell. He found the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society way back in 1884. As you see, some of these older cults, they've been around for quite some time. He was just like Joseph Smith from the Mormons, thinking that Christianity was corrupted. And really, if this reminds me of the Gnosticism that Paul was dealing with, that people that were of the faith walked away from the faith, and then they started their own belief systems, twisting the tenets of the faith. And that's why partly this particular podcast, number 5 of The Way It is called The Twisting of the Mind and the Soul, because what happens is these men, these false teachers, twist the mind, and then the demonic sets in and they twist the soul. And they do a lot of damage with that 1-2 punch. So, basically, Jehovah's Witnesses consider Christianity to be of religious hypocrisy. And you'll see Jehovah's Witnesses everywhere. In this era that this recording was made during COVID, you're not seeing Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door nearly as much. I think they're calling. I've had calls from Jehovah's Witnesses. I try to witness to them in as loving a way as possible. They're very prolific with the Watchtower and Awake magazines, and these stats will stun you. They have printed over 10 million of these copies in 80 languages. So they've been very prolific, very successful with their missions. But there's a reason for that. It's not just because the zeal. We're going to get into that in just a moment. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in the Trinity, as I had mentioned. They deny the deity of Christ. And they believe that the Holy Spirit does not have a personage, doesn't have its own personality. And salvation to Jehovah's Witnesses is basically rendered useless because they believe heaven is full already of the 144,000 that are initially sealed of God. They've misinterpreted Scripture completely. That 144,000, of course, come from Israel. They're virgins. And they are the ones who are going to be the ministers who preach the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ throughout Israel. And they are not the 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. Unfortunately, they think those are the ones who've occupied heaven. The rest of everyone has to live on earth. And they think that only through good works, and that mostly comprises of handing out Bible tracts. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that that is the only way they can get in, get a shot at heaven. But again, if it's full with 144,000, just like an elevator has capacity, how do you get 144,001? So they're playing loose and fast kind of with the numbers there, and it's a bit of a challenge. So they also contradict their own beliefs in quite a bit of what they believe in. And this is where I was getting a little mixed up with the Mormons. The Jehovah's Witnesses are the ones that do not believe in a physical resurrection of the Lord, or even in the second coming of the Lord. So the Mormons believe just the opposite, that God is only physical and not of spirit. So you can see the two of them are at crossroads there. The next cult that we want to talk about is the Way International. And this is quite similar in some regards to Jehovah's Witnesses, in that there's a lot of theology. Dr. Victor Paul Weirwill was the founder of the Way International, and he said that God spoke to him. This is this starting to sound familiar? Charles Smith and all his visions. These very special visions and revelations. Well, the Bible warns in the New Testament about people that have these kinds of visions and revelations. And we're not talking about in the latter days, the young men and older men will dream dreams and have visions. That's not what the Bible is talking about. These are people that have special, exclusive visions. It's much like people, young people and other people say, I went to heaven and saw Jesus and I went to hell and back. And the scripture says, no one that the only one that has come, went to heaven and come back, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that ends that one. So he said that God spoke to him, Dr. Weirwill. He calls himself a doctor. I don't know what he's a doctor of. And he told him he would offer him the true word of God, not as the church, because the word of God as the Bible had wasn't correct. And so the Way International, it started in 1955. It had a few hundred thousand people. It got really popular, and it probably at its peak during the 70s with the younger generations, most likely the hippies, and the love generations. There was the whole Jesus movement, and they got involved with the Way International. They've been associated with brainwashing charges. I'm not sure how much of that was ever proven, but they've actually had originally come from an Orthodox Christianity with deviations and a few heresies. Some of they took the Orthodox Christianity, and that's where they twisted it, and this is what they're left with. They deny the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the Holy Spirit personage, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe in speaking in tongues as a manifestation and a belief system that proves that you're saved. And this is exactly very similar to the Pentecostal movement, that if you speak in tongues, the nine gifts of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit will be evident. And speaking in tongues, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved, according to the Way International. And they believe you're saved, you will have all those nine manifestations of the Spirit. And what are those nine manifestations? Real quickly, in 1 Corinthians 12, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. Now, they do believe Jesus Christ is coming back. They've got that part right. Yes, he is. But, oh boy, they have taken Orthodox Christianity and really, really twisted it. Herbert W. Armstrong, you may have heard that name before, the Worldwide Church of God. It began by Armstrong in 1927. His wife, of all things, influenced him with the teachings of her church, which was a cult too, and it was, I'll give you the name of that church in just a moment here. So he started his church in 1937. He deviated from the Church of God Seventh Day, not to be totally confused with the Seventh Day Adventists. They all play a role in this thing too. They've definitely got their share of the piece of the pie. And it was known and founded He founded his Worldwide Church of God accordingly out of that. Apparently, his doctrine that he was preaching about from the church of the seventh day was found so far removed that he had to find his own church, and so he founded the Worldwide Church of God. So their church doctrine of the Worldwide Church of God was a mix of Seventh-day Adventists and Jewish observations, like feast days and things of that nature. Very similar to Seventh-day Adventists. They believe the same thing, that you must keep the Sabbath. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to hell. They believe Sunday is, these are the Seventh-day Adventists I'm talking about. They believe that is the mark of the beast, and that eventually the papacy will declare that if you don't worship on Sunday, then you will be done away with. So they hold to some of those types of things, and you can see the legalism setting in here. So Armstrong claimed that he had also divine revelations. Boy, this is the third one we've had already directly from God. Just like Charles Smith, and just like I can't remember the other gentleman. There's so many that have these divine revelations. Armstrong said all other churches were counterfeit except his. Ironically, most of his doctrines are very similar to Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, and something called British Israelism, which is the idea that the British Isles are the people, that the inhabitants of the British Isles are genetically, racially, and linguistically the direct descendants of the 10 lost tribes of ancient Israel. That's why people say the royal family, which they say that they're the Church of Satan, because they're trying to pretend they're Jews and they're not real. But Armstrong died in 1986, and by 1995, the Worldwide Church eventually became supposedly a Bible-believing church. And I can't back that up. That is some documentation that I came across. So whether it's 100% true or not, I don't know. You may know this name too, Sun Myung Moon's Unification Church, or better known as the Moonies. Funny, they only have Mormons, the Moonies. They are a mix of a number of religions. They were founded way back in 1954, and they were based on a belief system that God has new revelations for people. What do you know? What a shocker, huh? Which is a dead giveaway, of course, for all cults, as we have seen already. Sun Moon, Myung Moon is said in 1935, and he's maybe one of the most preposterous of all of these cult leaders. On Easter morning, he said Jesus Christ appeared to him. Yeah, sure he did. And told him to complete a mission. Funny, Jesus is spending so much time appearing in front of people, giving them all different revelations, giving them all different visions. Wow, what's going on? Either Jesus is a liar or these people are a liar. Which one do you think it is? Moon began preaching to North in North Korea, and started his church in 1954 in Seoul, Korea. And in 1992, Moon basically, this is where he really went off the rocker. He stated he was the Messiah and the Second Coming, the embodiment of the Second Coming, and that he was the owner of the world, so everything belonged to him. That must be why he had all those limousines. The Rolls Royces, pardon me. I think it was Rolls Royces. In 1997, he said that the only ones who could be saved are those who come from his lineage. It gets crazier. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to mock. It's like Isaiah was on the mountain with the Baal worshippers, and they were whipping themselves to frenzy and bleeding and trying to count down their, waiting for Baal to light the fire or the bullock, and God already did his, and he as they already poured water over his. And he said, "Well, your God must be on vacation or something. Did he not work his schedule out with you in advance?" And he was mocking in a righteous way, if there is such a thing. Righteous mocking. I've never heard of that. It's probably not mocking is the right word. So Moon stated that those who reject him will perish. And he never bothered to back up anything what he claimed at all. The Unification Church was definitely a ridiculous cult, to say the least. And he went to jail. He went to jail for tax evasion. He went to for tax evasion and not paying his taxes. Some messiah. You'd think he'd have... he has all those cattle and all those hills. You think he would be able to afford to buck up on the taxes. Christian Science, we're going to try to get this done here, was founded by Mary Baker Eddy, who believed that the restoration of the true church would only come through her approach. And she didn't believe in worship, but through studying, and that's why they set up so many reading rooms. And their biggest draw was spiritual healing without medicine, which is somewhat what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. So Christian Science takes Hindu beliefs and adds some Christian terminology to it. It's really a hodgepodge and really a mess, really, of a cult. They believe all there is in spiritual word in the world is matter. It's an illusion. Everything is of the spirit, and all physical matter is an illusion. And so is sin, sickness, and death. That's until you're dying. Then you have a change of mind. So this causes a lot of problems, as you can imagine. A lot of problems. More than we can get into. Scientology. There's the big one. Dianetics. You've heard of L. Ron Hubbard. You probably heard of Tom Cruise and John Travolta and Christy Alley backing up this. But did you know that L. Ron Hubbard was actually a huge follower of Aleister Crowley, who was considered the most evil man on the planet, the Beast? And he had Aleister Crowley came from Ordo Templi Orientis, an occultic sect that was founded originally in Europe way back in the 1920s. And Hubbard was active in black magic and a very, very big follower of Crowley. And he was a science fiction writer, of all things. He invented Scientology. His theories were called Dianetics, which was his approach to offer an alternative approach to overcoming physical and mental stress. In Hubbard's religion, all human beings are immortal spirits, or thetans, and they need to free themselves to realize their true nature. It sounds like New Age, doesn't it? And to define their powers that they have through a basically expensive therapy called processing. Well, the headquarters is in L.A., and as I mentioned, many celebrities and some sports people, they all support it. It's kind of like the cool thing. It's kind of like what happened in Hollywood with Madonna and all these other people wearing that red thread, which symbolizes the occultic... the cultic Jewish mysticism of the Kabbalah. It was cool for Hollywood people to join it. Well, this is kind of cool for people as well in Hollywood. They love the idea that they're really improving themselves. And so they don't take criticism well. Whenever they're exposed, they go really after people. Lee Remini more recently came after them, or exposed them, pardon me. And they don't like that. They like to keep everything very, very secretive. And, well, it turns out, just like all the other cults, Ron Hubbard himself said that there's only salvation through Ron Hubbard alone, not Christ alone. Faith is not required. Something called auditing is, and this is, of course, Antichrist, and it's dangerous in that regard, and it can really mess up your mind, as it has for many people. The last one that's not really a cult so much as the New Age movement, we've talked about it, we'll continue to talk about it, it's peace and enlightenment, the age of Aquarius, finding your divine nature, and combining all the Eastern religions and mysticism and the spiritual evolution of man becoming God, that Christ was just an enlightened master, nothing more. He wasn't the Son of God. Reincarnation is seen as a step in the progression process. So they take Hinduism and other Eastern religions, and they believe in the law of karma. They take from that, and they believe in harmonic convergence, which is every man, woman, and child, I suppose, every being on this earth can get the same wavelengths together. We can evolve to the next level, and some incorporate the beliefs of UFOs in there. And so that is a hodgepodge of astrology and channeling and occultic practices, and it's very demonic, actually. Hare Krishna is tied to that, and Hare Krishna started in India back in the 1500s, grew to popularity in the 1960s through George Harrison singing that very hypocrisy deceptive song, My Sweet Lord, which Christians thought was talking about Jesus. Until they heard the words Hare Hare Krishna towards the end of the song. It's a Hindu type of religion. Jesus Christ is only seen as the demigod manifestation of Krishna, which is God. And they believe that, again, spiritual matter is of the essence, and that Krishna, who is God apparently, is the only way that you will ever discover humanity. It's blasphemic, and it's led a lot of people astray. They shave their heads, they try to sell flowers at airports, or they used to, and they believe that they must escape their lustful desires, just like Hinduism. Krishna is going to be their help. Didn't help them, didn't help the Beatles, didn't help the Maharishi Yogi, and it won't help you. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Please join us as we continue on. It's Jerry Prosen with JCCS Presents. And actually, I'm going to be talking through this because my audio is not working. And just so you know, if you're wondering why we're having glitches and errors here, we run this live. We don't edit this. We don't edit this because we want to have a sense of humility when there's error, and when we have success, we thank God for it all. Yeah, this is the way we roll, I suppose. Here we are, part two. I'm going to lose my voice because I didn't take a break, but so be it. We're dealing with deadly cults, and there's one deadly cult right there, the People's Temple. Jim Jones is his name. It began as a ministry to help a very it meant well. They wanted to help the homeless, they wanted to help sick people, they wanted to help people find jobs. Problems really didn't arise until Jones decided that they needed to move their congregation to the jungles of Guyana there. And it's through isolation, which is a common theme in cults, to isolate people. And it's a form of brainwashing, really. So, what happened was they had this set up there, and word got out that there was widespread abuse going on. So, a congressman and I think three media people flew in. And they felt threatened pretty quickly, and there was a good reason for it. There was a lot of people with guns, and some of the same people who had guns actually, unfortunately, tragically gunned them down at the airport before they could return to report their findings. Who knows what they would have said, but chances are they would have validated the abuse. So, Jones in the jungles of Guyana painted a picture of the apocalypse coming very, very sure, very soon. And it was this kinds of maniacal brainwashing that allowed him and encouraged him to have all 913 of his followers drink some poison one day when they thought that they were the world was going to come to an end. But it turned out a tape was found, and unfortunately and tragically, many of these people were actually shot because they refused to drink the poison. And sadly enough, that involved men, women, and children. So a good portion of them were found with bullet holes in their heads. And I apologize for talking about something graphic like this, but some of this is the severity, and these are the deadly cults after all. So there were 913 victims. It was the worst mass suicide related to this type of thing of all time, although it didn't appear like it was really a suicide. There was another cult, and it was from this A.M. Shinrenkyo. Shinrenkyo, please, if there's any Japanese people, you're probably laughing hysterically as I butcher that name. During the 1980s, he had a cult that was known for attacking the Tokyo subway system with a sarin gas that killed 12 people, and more than 5,000, unfortunately, were damaged very, very badly, health-wise. This cult believed their followers were going to develop supernatural powers, of all things, and I guess they thought they had the freedom to do this, the horrible acts that they did. More tragedy took place a little more recently with the Heaven's Gate group. Back in the 90s, Marshall Applewhite's UFO cult, and there's a whole mess of UFO cults, most of them aren't dangerous, but this one ended up in a tragedy. He held to a belief that Earth and all its inhabitants were about to be recycled in order to have things start all over again. Huh. So Marshall held a belief that in March 1997, the comet, the Halley-Bopp comet, would be passing by, and they would get a chance to hitch a ride on it if they left behind their mortal coil, their bodies. They believed that was just a vehicle to get them to this comet. So in this way, Marshall thought they would be avoiding the recycling process, but I don't get that thinking. I mean, you're committing suicide on one hand, you're avoiding the recycling process. What's the difference? What is the difference? And unfortunately and tragically, ended up with 39 members poisoning themselves, all the while wearing Nike sneakers and armbands that read, Heaven's Gate Away Team. Well, they are certainly away, and unfortunately they're away from Heaven's Gate, the real Heaven's Gate. Okay, now one I never enjoy talking about, and that is Charles Manson and the Manson family. And I'm going to keep this one brief because, and I won't go into any gruesome details because it's absolutely horrific. Perhaps the most infamous, if not the most gruesome, of occult murder cases of all time. Manson was a disgruntled musician, first and foremost. And he found his band of misfits, and his list of psychotic beliefs were all brainwashed into these people. And he believed that he could start a race war between blacks and whites, and he believed the Beatles' White Album with the song Helter Skelter was speaking to them about the race war and starting it. So Manson thought that he could speed up the process and start this race war. And he had his people, after slaughtering the affluent group of people that he did, write pigs in their own blood on the kitchen refrigerator. Now, what most people don't know is that almost everybody, except that one gentleman, that I can't remember his name, he came there that night. I think it was the, Sharon Tate's house, and he just happened to be getting out of the car, and he was visiting. He wasn't scheduled to be a murderer, but he was there the same night, tragically, that the murders took place. So Stephen, can't remember his last name. Tragic. Well, what I was saying, anyways, before I got off a little bit off topic, it was these people that Manson had executed and murdered so brutally were all people that did not apparently help him with his music career. So was the Helter Skelter just a ruse to get people murdered that he was so upset with because he didn't become the superstar that Manson thought he should be? Or was just convenient? But he deliberately picked people that had accordingly not agreed to further his musical career. So we've seen some slides go by. We saw Guyana. I know Jim Jones is coming up, but we've seen some slides come by of David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. And I'll never forget the day that the raid took place, how horrible that was to see that on live TV, I think CNN or something like that, to see the horrible incidences that were taking place there. So Branch Davidians were a split off from the Seventh-day Adventists in Waco, Texas, and they founded the compound there. Of course, Seventh-day Adventists, as I mentioned, is another mainstream cult. We didn't really talk about it at length in the first part of today's show, but many cults have borrowed very similar beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventists, and so you can piece together kind of a perspective of what they do. So reports came in of abuse in the compound, much like Guyana and the People's Temple with Jim Jones. And so the FBI gave them an ultimatum for Koresh to come out, and they were going to arrest him and some other individuals they thought were perpetrators. He holed up in there, and it was known that they had ammunition and that they could withstand, they thought they could withstand some sort of a confrontation, a violent confrontation of sorts. So the actual FBI raid itself took place in 1993. It ended, of course, in terrible tragedy with the deaths of 76 people, men, women, and children, who did not leave the compound. A few people left the compound, I believe, before that actually happened. And ironically, their demise ended in apocalyptic fashion. I say ironically because that was what David Koresh, just like Worldwide Church focused on that, the Seventh-day Adventists spoke on it, extreme focus on the apocalypse, to the point like, we're going to die any day now, so let's do this today. Let's take drastic measures. And as you notice, they use that tactic, these cultists, always to get their people to do the terrible things that they want them to do. And before this program ends, we're going to look at the common characteristics of cults and how they find the people, the vulnerable people that they're looking for, and how they get into their minds, and then how the demons infiltrate and twist their souls. And so Branch Davidians thought the world was coming to an end, and so this in one way lined up with what David Koresh had been telling them all along, that they would be killed. And so they decided to hole up and live in the compound. And I don't know if he told them that they are the tribulation saints or not. I don't want to speculate that, but anything's possible. They stayed there in that compound right until the tanks rolled in. And I'll never forget them breaking down the holes into the compound and shooting. Yes, I saw flames coming from those tanks, and you just saw a picture of the compound just a moment ago. Horrible picture. And Yeah. Yeah. The way it ended was somewhat controversial. I remember Janet Reno being very involved with the commandments of this, and some people believe it was nothing more than an execution of a cult. There are a number of other cults that we could talk about. There's one in France, the Wyatt Group. They are a group out of France that are being surveyed to this day. They are considered potential abusers of children. And I have noticed a lot of the Nazi Party people have, especially in Europe, ended up finding forming a lot of these cults. And one such group was this Villa Baviera, or in English, I know I didn't do a very good job with the French, Colonia Dignidad, Dignidad. And this was actually a commune built of German immigrants, and it was founded in 1961 by a Paul Schaefer Schneider, a former Nazi Party member. Secret police had been studying this group, the Villa Baviera, and their compound, and their word was that people were being tortured, interrogated, with victims, including the molestation of children. And it's this group that, to this very day, is apparently may still be active. They're still under French surveillance, and they're still very much considered a criminal group wanted by the police, the French police. There's the Raëlians, a UFO cult, also started in France, way back in the 1970s, by a gentleman by the name of Raëlian. Of course, makes sense. And their belief system was simple, that aliens basically spawned all religions and all peoples, and that we need to transfer as soon as possible to their way of dealing with creation. And they believe cloning is one way to lead to reincarnation, and so they've taken all kinds of different religions and mixed them together. They're very much alive today. UFO cults have exploded in the last 10, 20 years, and these end times, I consider them doctrines of demons, and it's part of the deception of Satan, really, frankly, that there's benign beings that want to warn us about the world and the shape of the world. But isn't it interesting? They also tell us these same beings that are supposedly from millions of years away, that are from different galaxies and not interdimensional, not from our own dimension here, but from another place altogether. They know of Jesus, apparently, and they say he's not the Son of God. So why would they come so far to tell us that Jesus isn't God, and that New Age belief is the way to go, that they're the creators, and man has actually got divinity in him, and he just has to realize it. So it's crazy. There's the Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh communities in Oregon, and sorry, he. See, it's kind of funny. So much of the cults are so similar. I can't help but get a little bit mixed up on some of the minor details. It's him, the Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, that has the Rolls Royces. I mentioned before someone else that had the Rolls Royces, but I'm sure the all these people that were fooling so many people all took advantage of many people and had riches beyond belief. In Oregon in the 1980s, Indian mystic Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh occupied a number of towns in Oregon, and he filled them up with thousands of his followers. And Bhagwan flaunted his wealth with his Rolls Royces all over the place. And he had armed guards walking all over the place, protecting him and watching for anybody that would incite a rebellion of any sort. They were told to use extreme force. Now, I don't have any documentation to prove anyone was shot, but I'd be shocked if some of those people, and I've seen pictures of them, some of them didn't look too friendly, some of these bodyguards. So, apparently, he was allegedly the culprit behind poisoning hundreds of people in the Dalles, Oregon area with salmonella bacteria back in 1984, in order to rig local electrics about elections. I can't read my writing here. Yes, I had to write. I make some notes because there's so much details here I don't want to miss on that favored this cult following. So he was first considered the first actual bioterrorist attack ever in the U.S. Going back to France, there was the Order of the Solar Temple, Luc Joriet, who was a Belgian religious leader, as well as a neo-Nazi, there's that connection again, founded this group in 1984, and the thing this cult was known for was kidnapping and sacrifice of a child, that's not funny, that they thought and believed to be the Antichrist. The absurdity and the just absolute insanity of these people. They're psychopaths, though. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know the evil that they're committing. They're so hungry for power, and they'll do anything they can to seize power. And Juryat, a few days later, conveniently before he was to be arrested, committed suicide along with dozens of his followers. Those are some of the deadly cults. Some. There are tens, and this is unbelievable, tens of thousands of cults out there. Some are not even known. Today we're just covering some of the more well-known ones. We just saw Bhagwan a minute ago, Jim Jones here coming up, unfortunately, a victim of Heaven's Gate. Really sad. Really sad. The people that are searching. Maybe this is one of the reasons why we wanted to do this show. Because if you're one of these people that are really searching for spirituality, my goodness, I just pray for discernment for you, because there are many people out there, the wolves in sheep's clothing, that they when they first met you, everything seems so wonderful, it seems too good to be true. See people smiling there, but they want to exploit you in every stretch of the way. Many for sex, many just for their own sick, egotistical gratification, and take advantage of you in every way. Many of the cults are sex cults. They're terrible cults, and molestation, very much part of Satanism, is very much a component in a lot of these cults, and a lot of these sick people, just like Charles Manson, just like Jim Jones. And the rest of them that aren't meaning to necessarily cause harm are so deluded that through brainwashing tactics, they've convinced people to follow in their crazed belief systems, like Marshall Applewhite, which there's an earlier picture of him coming up in a minute, some black and white older pictures here. into thinking that, oh yeah, we're gonna hop a ride on that that comet. All we have to do is commit suicide. Of course, it's not like that, right? It's sugar coated so that it seems much more significant, seems much more like you're doing something much more important, to give you some false self-esteem, which really is a lot of what is going on here. These are people that have joined these cults are very vulnerable. Many of them are lost. Some of the girls of the Manson family, you're going to see in a minute. They came out of the 70s and the hippie movement, and they had fallouts with their parents, and they rebelled and they left home, and Charles Manson took them in and called it the family, and you know, there was Tex Watson there and all these people, and there Charles was playing music. He probably looked like a rock star, and this gentleman here, this sick man that's taking a picture of these, he molested all of these family members at one time or another, and we only can use their faces because they've already come out already. If they hadn't, we certainly would blot out their faces. But all these things are well documented. So, cults. It's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the last days, that perilous times would come, that in the last days men would be deceived, they'd give in to doctrines of demons, and that they would fall away. These cult leaders, they all had some form of Christian Orthodox upbringing or exposed to it, and they rebelled against it. They turned away from it. And many of them said they had their own divine revelations. They all had their own visions. You know, Joseph Smith with his. And you think about Herbert W. Armstrong, and on it goes. But they really had another agenda. And the agenda was to take over, to dominate the human spirit, the human soul, the mind of others. They were preoccupied with misguiding people. Some of them, maybe they believed their own lies, that they really were the Messiah. Some of them were so ludicrous and insane that you got to think that drugs played a major role in their belief systems. Certainly the Charles Manson, when he sent out mostly females to do his dirty work, his bloody, bloody work, they were all high on all kinds of drugs the night of the murders, the several nights of those murders that took place. And so, cults will not go away. Cults will still be here until the Lord comes back, because probably the biggest cult, if we can call it that cult, will be Mystery Babylon, where the Antichrist ultimately takes over. And we know from Scripture, they say, who's like the dragon? Who can do what the dragon does? The worship. Of course, mind you, the reality is he's going to kill anyone who doesn't take the mark of the beast. So you have that going right there. So, but the Scripture says that people willfully will take the mark of the beast, that they will become so infused, potentially even their DNA may potentially become so twisted, because They will be reprobate. Salvation will not be an option for them. What's tragic when you see the dead bodies at Jonestown, and especially children, knowing maybe that they were deceived in the last few minutes of their lives. Again, I heard the tape, and people were shouting and screaming, and it sounded very chaotic. It did not sound like a lot of people were willing to go along with this, that they were given no option. This is true evil. This intent, this it's evilness. This is where the demonic sets in, and the twisting of the soul. The mind has been brainwashed. These people have been alienated from their families, their support systems. They've been taught a new way to think, that everybody else is wrong and they're the only ones. It's us versus the world. And now, after the brainwashing, the demonic sets in, because these cult leaders are themselves demonically possessed. And they, for the life of them, you know, if they really cared about people, if they really cared about human lives, even David Koresh, if he had come out of the compound, he thought they were going to shoot him and shoot his whole congregation, the Branch Davidians, but lives would have been spared. That was on TV. I mean, you would have seen it. And so, we're going to be wrapping this up in just a moment or two. Looking at the cults, the dangerous cults. There's Christian cults. Many cults with spin-off from Orthodox Christianity. How do you know your little congregation isn't a cult? If you're in a little group where there's no accountability, if there's secrecy involved, if you don't have access to the Word of God, or Jesus Christ is denied his lordship, the divine nature of Jesus Christ, or God, or the Trinity, or the Bible as the Word of God is challenged, rest assured, if you someone's telling you they have a revelation, a vision of God, that you're in the midst of a cult. The fact of the matter is, today we just the tip of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg. There are tens of thousands and thousands of lesser known cults out there that people have never heard of. I was when I was doing some research for this podcast, I even saw one, a TikTok cult. You know, TikTok, the social media. So there's every kind of cult out there, every kind of UFO cult, every kind of crazy cult following out there you can believe on. But you remember, these people are out there, and you're going to see a slide here in a minute. They're out there to manipulate you. They're out there to fool you. They want you to have so much fear of the outside world that your only place of solitude is within the family, the cult. They always call themselves a family. They want you to break your ties with the world and stay with them. And it's, again, us versus them, and divide and conquer. And just complete mesmerizing, brainwashing of the individual. And we are, again, in these last days, and as 1 Timothy 4:1, I think we said it earlier, that some will depart from the faith and give heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And that's what cults are. One thing you can be aware of is if people tell you stray from God's word and tell you, this is how you should feel or this is how you should think. And they want you to put blinders on to the word of God. That should be a huge clue that you are dealing with a cult. Because they don't want you to line up the word of God. Because when you do, these cults will be exposed for what they are. And they do get exposed, and they will get exposed sooner or later. These are certainly absolutely the craziest of crazy times, as this next slide will reveal. Well, the only thing that will be crazier will be when the 7 years of tribulation happen. But we live in a crazy, crazy time. And the only way you're going to keep your head on straight and know what's what and what the truth is if you're praying and seeking God's face. Because don't listen to men. Don't listen to the words of men. Men's vain philosophies, they're going to lead you astray. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked. And who can know it but God? There are so many people, unfortunately, that have fallen victim to all these cults. And it makes me sad when I see this patch, this Heaven's Gate Away team on the screen there. But these people, all they wanted to do was try to get out of a world that they were told was going to be recycled. And they were told all these lies. And look at these pompous, egotistical leaders. Look at this gentleman sitting there with all his brides. Sleeps with each and every one of them. Pardon me for being so forthright. So, anyone who adds or takes away to the word of God, anybody that we've mentioned all this, challenges the deity of Christ, anyone tells you there's other ways of salvation beyond what Christ did on the cross, you can tell those are all cults. Stay away from them. Stay away from the devil. He will flee from you. He'll give up if you continually make it hard for him to advance forward. And then the truth will be known, and you will have nothing to do with cults, and cults will have nothing to do with you. So with that being said, thank you for joining us on podcast number 5 today on the cults. It's been my pleasure. Jory Prosen with JCCS Presents. Thank you, and God bless you all wherever you are. Until next time, may God's shalom be with you. Bye for now.